much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Oh. Hey, knucklehead, get out of that bed. We've got a program to do.
Will you quit yapping? 6 o'clock in the morning. Who's up to listen to us?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
White people having fun. Global domination over everyone. White people smile so bright. Genocide for anyone who isn't white.
White folks is f***ing crazy.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I don't know. Oh my God, I'm so, oh my God, oh my God.
What do you say?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
This is really nasty.
Roll another one.
Fat people should just not.
Just like the other one.
Girl, what are you going to let me tap that ass?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Roll.
Roll another one.
And how often have you used it?
Just like the other one.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
This one seems to be about to end.
Such a big liar.
I don't have another cent.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know who I am. And everything I do is big.
Where's the outrage there?
Let's pass it around.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
I am the one who knocks.
I think the CIA is controlling my thoughts.
No, we're not.
Oh, I guess they're not.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. A brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Friday morning.
What's up, party people?
As you can tell by that song, of course.
Yes. Yeah. I think there'd be riots in the street if there was no Bogart on Friday on the Kevin and Bean show. I don't
That's
think
true.
People could handle it.
I would start him.
Yeah. No one would blame you. Hey, Beer Mug.
Hi, Bean.
What happened?
Birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You got to reevaluate your life today, Muggs.
I think I'm going to take the path that Bradley Cooper took and just give up all alcohol. And
that would help, but you're not going to do that, so let's yeah. stop talking about that.
When you see Muggs on the street today, I just want you to keep in mind, and you're going to find this shocking, he's only 29. I mean, you're going to have trouble wrapping your head around that information when you see him in person. He's only 29.
You're going to think you're talking to his dad. But
right, exactly.
It's not him.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. Wow. Hey, here's a great way to start the day. I love this story so much. Here's a, maybe you saw this one yesterday. Here's a woman in South Carolina who thought she heard something in the attic, and she did.
Yes. Mm.
A little creepy, right? She's yeah. living in Rock Hill, South Carolina, a little town on the border of North and South Carolina. She is a single mother of five. She thought she heard a thump from above her, and upon closer inspection, she noticed that there were some nails that were starting to pop out of her bedroom ceiling.
What?
Suggesting that maybe something was going on in the attic. So she heard the noises, saw the nails, thought it was some poltergeist stuff going on, as she told the local TV. Then she sent one of her kids up to take a look, and they found a man sleeping in her attic.
What?
And it turned out it was her ex-boyfriend that she had broken up with 12 years earlier, who had just gotten out of prison. He got out of prison, came to her house, broke in, climbed up to the attic, and had been living there for more than 2 weeks.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Even though they had broken up more than 12 years ago, she had heard from him since he had been in prison. He had sent her letters saying that he had changed and wanted to get back together. She did not have any interest in doing that. She didn't know that he was out of prison. Her adult sons found him asleep in the back of the attic. He had packed all the old coats and jackets into the heating unit and was sleeping in the heating unit, had turned that into a bed. They also found several Sonic cups. You know that restaurant chain, the Sonic sure. chain, right? Had several cups up there that he was using to collect his, you know.
Yes.
Oh.
What was he collecting the other thing with?
Oh.
Both, the same thing. He was collecting them both in cups.
Oh. Yeah.
And to add insult to injury, it's not creepy enough that her ex-boyfriend had come back to her, broken into her house. The only way to get into the house was through the downstairs. Broke into the house, climbed upstairs, was living in his attic for 2 weeks. If this makes it even worse, you're not going to believe this. He had also rigged the ceiling vents so that he could look down on the woman in her bedroom from his spot in the attic.
Okay.
No, he's changed. He's changed.
That's and that's why she discovered him, right? Because of the nails and...
She should give him a second chance, I think.
I guess,
everybody
yeah.
deserves a second chance.
It's got me flabbergasted, she told the Charlotte Observer newspaper. How can you look at someone through an air vent? Look, that's the least creepy part about this story. I get that part. I don't get the other part. By the way, the guy jumped up, ran downstairs, got away. He's still at large. He is described as a black male, 5'6" tall, weighing about 170 pounds. So they're still looking for him, but at least they know who he is. But is that, can you imagine you hear a noise or see something and you go upstairs and find out that someone's living in your house, you didn't know about it.
Yeah, it's shocking enough that you find someone up there, but that they've been there for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah, that's amazing. I wonder if she went off to work every day and he'd come down and eat some food and
watch TV
and then
that's a great point, Lisa.
Sure.
Of course you would if you could. If you had the house to yourself, you'd absolutely take advantage of that, right? And maybe use
on
a toilet.
Yeah, it seems like a workable situation,
sure.
honestly, for a while.
Now that Lisa has pointed
that
out, I may try it.
Nope.
That sounds like rent-free, man.
Weekends would be tough.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't help that she had 5 kids, too. I don't know what the ages are of the kids.
What? How did they not hear something?
Well, I mean, he's up in the attic. I don't know.
It is a mouse.
I mean, I have an attic, but I'm really only up, you know, I wouldn't ever hear anything from the ground floor, which is where I am most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're quiet at night, you don't hear anything
20 stories? What's happening with you?
Got a basement, too. A lot of room for bodies in my house.
There may be bodies in your house.
I mean, there's a lot of square footage for crafts.
Sure, crafts. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't have time for you to be a douche.
Cousin Sal will be here giving us his NFL picks. He was 2-1 last week.
Okay.
I believe it's Cowboys-Seahawks this weekend.
Oh.
So he'll have something to say to me. I'll have something to say to him.
Cowboys-Seahawks equals Cowboys.
Yeah.
Perhaps so.
Crazy man Jesse Ventura on the program today.
How dare you?
He's written a book about politics, which I could not be more excited about because I love me some politics. Mia Jovovich will be on the program today.
Awesome.
Resident Evil Retribution is on the way. Ari Grainer for A Good Time Call. That movie's already in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
She's hilarious.
Bob Ballard from Nat Geo's The Alien Deep.
She's hilarious, too.
His name is Bob,
and
he goes down into the ocean, is deeper than most people, and he finds life and Bigfoot, and I don't know. I don't know what he finds.
We do need to talk
to
him if he found
him.
Bigfoot in the ocean.
Snooki or Chloe,
we're going
to play that game today.
Love that.
It's been a while.
And it's Friday morning, so we have the movie beat.
Awesome.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around. We're going to come back with the Showbiz Beat.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What that means for those of me, people like me, who left this show 3 years ago.
Come on.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin's like, what happens to mean to those of me? Well, that's wrong. I should say it again. Those of me. Damn.
I said it wrong. I tried to clarify it.
People like me. Those people.
That's a good one. I enjoyed that very much. Hey, it's 5:50. Let's say 5. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Let's say 6. Let's say 5:56.
Is that more accurate? Okay.
It's much closer to 5:56.
I've got 2 clocks here and neither of them say that. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, though, and I know it is a Friday.
It is a Friday. Not only that, but today's the annual Wizard of Oz Festival in Chesterton, Indiana. So get on your planes, get on your bikes, get on your hovercraft, whatever it is you travel in, and get yourself to Chesterton, Indiana today for Wizard of Oz Fest.
Why do they have it in Indiana and not Kansas?
Oh, Bean, come on.
I don't know. I really don't.
If you have to ask,
I'm not even going to talk to you about it. Forget it.
I have been to
kind of time.
To both Wizard of Oz museums in Kansas, by the way.
He said that as if we were going to go, wow!
Gold star!
That just makes you a giant dork. Why would you go to those?
I was in Kansas on vacation,
right?
And they were attractions that I was interested in seeing.
Why aren't you in Chesterton, Indiana today?
Well, that's why I'm confused as to why they're holding it in Indiana.
I need to know why it's in Indiana.
Well, they thing
I'll never go to.
He didn't go to one. He went to two.
I went to both of them. I've been to both of the world's largest balls of twine, too. But my question is, why wouldn't you hold it in a place that has some significance to the story?
I would like you to burst into flames.
I'm not pleased with this development.
Maybe, and I'm guessing here, maybe Frank L. Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, was from Chesterton, Indiana. Maybe it's that kind of connection.
I'd like to suggest it is irrelevant and uninteresting to anyone.
80,000 people will be there, Kevin.
Don't care.
Two of the original Munchkins will be there. Can you believe there's still Munchkins alive?
I'm shocked by that.
Munchkins are like really small dogs.
I thought they were all dead.
They live long, long times.
L. Frank Baum was born in Chittenango, New York.
Ah, so that's not it.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
If anyone knows why the Wizard of Oz Festival is in Chesterton, Indiana,
for God's sake,
please call 1-800-520-1067.
What started as a bad day is turning worse.
Please call.
With this non-showbiz
nonsense. Give,
please
give until you can't give enough. How is the Wizard of Oz not showbiz? One of the biggest movies of all time?
Yeah, it was 50 years ago when
still,
it came out.
Still, one of the biggest movies of all time.
No. Well, yeah, of all time, yeah.
Yeah.
Irrelevant today. Irrelevant.
I consider this part of all time.
Irrelevant.
I consider today part of all time.
Irrelevant.
I think in the past and the present, it all is part of all time.
Nothing's going on in showbiz that's more important than that.
Nothing's all going on in showbiz, period, that's that important.
Bean has the answer.
Chesterton is home. I'm on the Chesterton, Indiana Wikipedia page now. Chesterton is home to the annual Wizard of Oz Festival, which is the largest and most famous of its kind.
Ha! You didn't even go to the best one, and you went to two of them.
I didn't go to any festival. I just went to the museums. But it doesn't say why.
Oh.
It says it's there. It doesn't say why.
Oh, Bean. What are we going to do?
Let's call notable native Jim Gaffigan and ask him. Maybe he knows.
Let's call Jim Gaffigan quickly. King of Mexico, get Jim Gaffigan on the phone, please.
He might know the answer.
We need to work this out.
I can't move on until we answer this question.
No!
Thank you.
Allison Pill from the newsroom is having quite the week. As I told you yesterday, she accidentally tweeted a topless photo of herself. She followed it up, according to the New York Post, with quite the night on the town.
All right.
She was out with her buddy Anna Chomsky, who we talked to here. She's on Veep. Apparently they're very good friends, and they were attending New York's Fashion Week. At an event, Allison Pill was falling down drunk, say witnesses. So much so that she was stumbling and yelling out loud about other people's flatulence. You're a farter! You fart! You're so farty!
I love it.
Anna Chomsky said apparently to onlookers, "Don't worry, she's fine, she's fine." Sounds like she's a good time.
No kidding.
Naked pictures, drunken fart talk. Psycho Mike's perfect woman.
She's got everything.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Happy birthday to Walter Koenig, who, of course, will always be known as Chekhov from the Star Trek franchise. He is 76 years old today. Just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, by the way. He finally polished one up for Chekhov, which is nice. Sam Neill from the Jurassic Park movies. He is 65 years old. My movie wife, Melissa Leo. She was my wife in Red State. And, of course, she's an Oscar winner. She won for The Fighter. 52 years old today.
Rob, did you see her her guest starring on the Louis C.K. show this season?
I did not, no.
Oh, my God. She's probably going to win an Emmy, too, to go along with her Oscar. She was incredible.
She's super talented. Dan Cortese. He was started as a VJ, right? And then went on to become an actor.
Happened to him.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while.
Long time.
45 years old. Actor, director, writer, mogul. Tyler Perry. Hallelujah! He's 43 years old. Bassist Craig Montoya of Everclear is 42. Nas is 39 years old. Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead celebrates his 39th birthday. And our very own beer mug celebrates his 29th birthday today. Let's hope the last time I will ever announce it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Listen to K-Rock all weekend long and score tickets for pit and backstage passes to Epicenter 2012. It's happening next Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. That's a big deal, you know, every year. Stone Temple Pilots this year, Bush, Deftones, Scars on Broadway, Hollywood Undead, Chevelle. The list goes on and on and on, including a live DJ set by K-Rock's DJ Jeremiah Red. Have you heard his Saturday night thing that he does? Yeah. Oh, my God. Guy's incredible. That's all coming up all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Justin Bieber wants you to know that he is not just a teen heartthrob. He is a grown-up. He expects to be treated like a grown-up, and he's tired of being a little kiddie hero.
Okay.
Well, he's 18 now, and he's trying to ensure that he has a long-lasting career. He was on the Today Show yesterday being interviewed by special correspondent Ryan Seacrest.
Jeez, really?
Here's what Justin had to say about being a man.
I feel like I'm definitely growing up. I mean, I'm 18, but when you're 18, you're not fully a man yet. I think that you are becoming the person that you're going to be. But now I feel like I have more responsibilities with different aspects of my life, having to sign more contracts and do more of the business side.
Well, when you have to sign contracts, yeah. I guess that does mean that you've become a man. Let's check in with our old friend Justin and find out how old man Bieber is doing, shall we? Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Justin. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, eh?
What happened?
What happened? I'm a man, eh?
Well, you just turned 18.
That's,
I don't know.
Right. Like, I'm not completely wholly the man I'm going to be, but I'm on the way to being the man I'm going to be,
right,
eh?
Right. Right, but
Hold on a second. I got to shave.
Oh, really? You have to shave now?
My beard is so heavy.
Yeah.
I got to make sure I shave this beard because I'm a man.
Right.
I am a manly man with a big beard.
Yeah.
I got that.
You don't have facial hair.
I do. I've got a full beard.
Dude,
you have to shave off, eh?
Right.
You have the body of a 13-year-old girl, Justin. There's not a hair on your face or anywhere. Come on.
That's not true. My beard just grew back.
Did it really already?
I got like a 5 o'clock shadow now. I got to take care of it, eh?
It's so weird that they taped this interview with you for the Today Show like 2 days ago, and your voice has changed so much.
I know. That's because I'm coming to man, eh?
Right.
And I'm a very manly man, and I don't want to be part of that teen heartthrob thing anymore, eh?
Here's how you're bragging about all the bitches you've got. You got hoes in all the area codes. Listen to this as your cell phone beeps to interrupt the question from Ryan.
And you admire the moves, the style. Is that your phone?
Yeah, it's my phone. I mean, 18, always texting. I got girls texting me all the time.
Really, Justin? Girls
texting
me all the time?
I got girls texting me all the time.
The ladies love me, eh, now that I'm all a man. And I'm a manly man. They really love it. Oh, hold a second. That beard, you keep coming back.
What?
Yeah.
Shaving already?
Oh.
That seems annoying.
Crazy, eh?
Yeah.
I'm like too much man, I think. I'm maybe too much man.
I think maybe you don't understand men because that doesn't happen with men. It doesn't grow that
fast. That's a manly thing to have a beard like being a lumberjack. Eh?
Right. But it doesn't grow back after you shave it in 30 seconds.
All right. Maybe it doesn't for you, girly girl.
All right.
And then finally, as you address, Justin, you're concerned that people think you're just a flash in the pan.
I just don't want to be another teen heartthrob because that just annoys me to think that that's what people will think of me. I just want to prove people wrong.
So as a teenager who the girls like, you don't want people to think you're a teenager heartthrob.
No, I'm leaving that all behind, eh? I'm a manly man.
But aren't all of those little kids the ones that gave you the career? What are you doing?
I'm just cutting some wood. Cutting some wood for the fireplace and to build my log cabin, eh?
You're not cutting wood.
I am.
You're not a lumberjack.
I am building a log cabin in the woods, eh?
No, you're not. You're trying so hard to be manly, but you sound like a little kid.
What was that?
Dress up. What happened?
I'm hunting caribou.
You're not. No, you're not hunting caribou.
Hey, caribou die.
You don't do any of that.
No, you don't do any of that.
Oh, everyone's going to be eating manly caribou steaks tonight at my log cabin, eh?
Nope. That you're going to build in one day?
That's right. Oh, that beard's back.
Okay. All right.
You're flimsy, and it sounds like you're just pretending now.
That's the first time I ever had a beard. It's not Selena Gomez, eh?
We're going to play one of our favorite games, Snooki or Chloe, coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then just after 7, we're talking to Bob Ballard. He's got this Nat Geo channel series called The Alien Deep. He's the guy, Ralph, who discovered the Titanic.
I know.
Bastard. What's up with that?
Doing stuff,
making the rest of us look bad. That's all on the way in the next few minutes. First, though, it's Friday. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for Ralph's Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching.
One man
who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
We continue to be in the doldrums of show business. Oh, the band was late. Band just got here.
Muggs just got here.
No!
He's the best. He really is.
He is the best.
As I talked about it last week, we have a sort of a lull that happens between the end of the summer blockbuster season and then the ramp up of Oscar season, Oscar voting season, and the Hollywood Christmas blockbusters. So right now, sometimes you get some small interesting films. Sometimes you get a lot of crap. But
it's
I think
so
we got a little of both
this week. It's so frustrating, Ralph, because you turn on the TV and you see all these ads for The Master and for Argo and all these movies that you're dying to see, but none of them are out.
Oh, The Master comes out this week.
It does?
What? Yes.
Yes.
So,
really?
So pipe down.
Oh, sorry.
Finding Nemo 3D. We're starting off with that one. It's for the kids. They're bringing back Finding Nemo. This time, it's in 3D. Imagine seeing Bruce the Shark come off the screen. hey, I'm Bruce the Shark. That'd be awesome, right?
Cool.
I think so. It would be cool. Here, for those of you who aren't familiar with the film, and really, who hasn't seen it at this point, here's Dory, played by the hilarious Ellen DeGeneres, explaining that to Albert Brooks' character, that she has a bit of a short-term memory.
What is going on? You already told me which way the boat was going.
I did? Oh, no.
Like, this is some kind of practical joke. It's not funny. And I know funny. I'm a clownfish.
No, it's not. I know it's not. I'm so sorry. See, I suffer from short-term memory loss.
Short-term memory loss. I don't believe this.
No, it's true. I forget things almost instantly. It runs in my family. Well, I mean, at least I think it does.
See?
Because she can't remember.
She forgot.
I think of all the celebrity-driven animated films, the best performances come from this one. Albert Brooks is remarkable in this, and so is Ellen DeGeneres. Really top-notch stuff. So if you need a movie to take the kids to this weekend, you can always have a good time at Finding Nemo. Arbitrage opens this weekend. Look, it's a horrible name for a movie, don't get me wrong.
It is.
But it's a spectacular cast. It's about, it's not a sexy topic. It's about, you know, economics. But seriously.
Wow.
A troubled hedge fund magnate, desperate to complete the sale of his trading empire, makes an error that forces him to turn to an unlikely person for help. Here is your lineup. Richard Gere, Susan Sarandon, and Tim Roth.
Nice.
Wow. Come on now.
That's pretty good.
Here's some clips from the trailer to Arbitrage.
Jimmy, it's me.
You want to tell me what this is?
You don't ask. The car rolled in multiple impacts. So she was here, and her feet were down here.
So who kicked out the door?
The situation would be manslaughter. What would you advise such a person to do?
That person were closing a merger with a large bank. Any arrest could derail the transaction.
The guy did it. He does not get to walk just because he's on CNBC.
He kills a person. He's trying to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
Also opening up this weekend, 10 years. This is about a high school reunion. And a group of friends realize they still haven't grown up in some ways. Channing Tatum, Rosario Dawson, Chris Pratt, and Jenna Dewan Tatum. Pretty funny lineup. Here's some clips from that.
Look who it is. I thought she wouldn't come in.
Did you tell Jess about her?
Yeah, of course I told Jess about her. This is going to get weird. I'm happy you decided to come.
You're the only reason I did. You want to go over there?
No. I think you owe me a dance. You've never told me why you guys broke up.
I stayed as long as I could. I just needed to grow up.
So have you grown up now?
Yeah, I'm growing up. Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
I'm growing right now.
I'm going to get real big grown up in my pants.
This is another Channing Tatum movie?
Yep.
He's already had three movies out this year before this one.
People love him.
I guess so.
Opening up this weekend, The Master, the movie that's not about Scientology, wink, wink, and not about L. Ron Hubbard, wink, 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 wink. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays a charismatic author who starts his own religion, who's not L. Ron Hubbard, by the way, wink, wink, wink. And a naval veteran returns home from the war, unsettled, uncertain for his future, and he's tantalized by a new religion called The Cause that is not Scientology, wink, wink, wink. Here are some scenes from the trailer of The Master.
He's been writing all night. You seem to inspire something in him.
What we will do now will urge you toward existence within a group.
You merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult.
He's making all this up as he goes along.
I wonder how he got here and what he's after.
You are an everlasting spirit, Freddy.
I don't believe you. You make this up. I know you're trying to calm me down, but just say something that's true!
That sounds like Scientology to me.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Joaquin Phoenix. Amy Adams. Come on! Wow. Directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, the legendary director who gave us Boogie Nights and Magnolia. Just a super cast with a great director. So looking forward to that film. It's in limited release this weekend. Expands further on the 21st. Stolen with Nicolas Cage, Malin Ackerman, Josh Lucas, and Danny Houston. Also opens this weekend. A former thief frantically searches for his missing daughter, who has been kidnapped and locked in the trunk of a taxi. Stolen is taken. Only with a taxi. That's all you need. They should put that on the poster.
Worst actor.
They should put that.
I don't think I'm a worse actor, actually. I think I'm a pretty good actor.
Here is some scenes from Stolen.
Will?
Hello, Will.
Vincent?
I want my share.
Of the $10 million that was going to change our lives.
There is no cash.
A daughter of yours, she grew up real nice.
Your former partner has kidnapped your daughter and is holding her in the cab.
I'm not being played by you.
I want to talk to her now. I want to hear her voice now.
To save his daughter.
There's no way you can steal $10 million.
Time's up.
Stolen.
He's got to steal the money to give to the guy to save his daughter. Danny Houston plays a great bad guy, though. I'm looking forward to it. This looks like a fun movie. And lastly, Resident Evil Retribution. Director Paul W.S. Anderson has a new movie. What are the odds Paul Thomas Anderson and Paul W.S. Anderson would have new movies on the same weekend? It's the return of Alice as she fights along a resistance movement to take over the Umbrella Corporation, of course, that's turning us all into zombies. Mila Jovovich, Michelle Rodriguez returns to the franchise, Resident Evil Retribution. I saw a ton of this stuff, footage from this movie, at Comic-Con this weekend. I was the past Comic-Con weekend, because I was the running the...
Moderator?
Moderator for the panel for Resident Evil Retribution. So I got a chance to hang with these guys, and they're very excited about the film, and the stuff looks amazing. Here are some clips from the trailer of Resident Evil Retribution.
My name is Alice.
Alice, how nice to see you again.
What the hell is going on here?
We have you under all control.
They used me to perfect the virus. Everyone I've ever known. Everything I've ever done. Been used against me. Now they can manipulate the world.
We've taken over New York, Moscow, Tokyo. This is humanity's last stand. The beginning of the end.
I'm gonna kill you.
Good luck.
And I'm in.
You can't go better. If you're looking for a good time sci-fi zombie movie, you can't do better than the Resident Evil franchise. That's a great pick for this weekend. Looking for something a little more thoughtful? I think The Master with Philip Seymour Hoffman is the way to go. Those are my picks. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Linkin Park, also Neon Trees, Foo Fighters, Coldplay, all on the way here on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
Game. We love to play.
What's going on down there at the end of the table, Ralph?
A game called Snooki or Chloe.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah!
Yeah! This is my favorite game. I love to play host to this game. Chloe or Snooki, here's the game. I will read to you a tweet that was actually tweeted, that went into the Twitterverse, that was received by other Twitterverse. You simply need to identify, was it Chloe or Snooki who pushed the send button on that same said tweet?
And what's fascinating about this game is none of these tweets are ever worth tweeting,
nope.
And neither of these people ever has anything interesting to say.
Nope. And it should be called Chloe, Snooki, or Bean.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might be the wrong guy to be complaining about that.
But they are virtually indistinguishable from each other, and that's why it's hilarious to hear us try to guess.
Now, they're very different people. Chloe, Snooki are very different, come from different backgrounds, lead different lives, and yet their tweets are almost... You can't separate the
two. Yeah, they're interchangeable.
Lisa and I have put a dollar on this.
Because
a credit.
Because you're fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Bean?
Too rich for my blood.
Too rich for my blood.
Dollar?
The dollar to sit this one out.
Why do you think he has five homes?
Makes me holler, first of all.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the game, shall we? Here's the first. I love reading articles that are so far from the truth. # people are weird. Chloe or Snooki?
That sounds like Chloe. Chloe to me and information out about her that she doesn't think is true.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are more people writing personal stories that might be false about Chloe, too, than Snooki. Because mm-hmm. Snooki is pretty much an open book right now.
I'm going Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki,
did you just feel it in your gut, Kevin?
I'm not giving away my secret.
He's just playing for the dollar, Lisa. He's just trying to go opposite whatever another says.
I think his secret is he knows how bad I am at this game, so it's a safe bet to go with the opposite of whatever I say.
Here's the next tweet. Sunday dinner with the fam and bestie.
The fam and bestie. I think that's Chloe again. I can't see Snooki calling anyone a bestie.
Really?
I
don't watch Jersey Shore. Maybe she does, but it doesn't sound like her to me.
Yeah, I think I. So you're going Chloe as well?
I
think
so
I have to go Chloe
to,
as well.
Really?
I think so.
All right.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell him to get off.
Snooki!
Right, I'm going opposite Dean now.
Here's another tweet.
Who's keeping score, by the
way? I am. I have one, and you both
Where
have none.
Zero.
This was an actual tweet, by the way.
All right.
September.
That's it?
That was it.
Come on.
Yep.
How are we supposed to guess?
September.
Bean?
Yeah. So you want to know how to go off?
Yes.
I'm going to just, for no reason, say Snooki on this one.
I'm going Chloe.
I am going Snooki.
Chloe it is. Chloe announcing for us what month we were in. God bless her.
I'm 0 for all.
Kevin won, Lisa won, Bean none. No wonder he didn't want to bet a dollar.
Is it weird that I love to go grocery shopping? Ha! Is the tweet. Is it weird I love to go grocery shopping?
Ha! Bean's making the Chloe sound. Does that mean that's it?
No, I can't believe that these people are real. You're no longer allowed to make fun of my tweets when these people exist.
Of course we can make
fun
of your tweets. Yours are just as bad.
We're all waiting for the
Oh, you're waiting for
one.
Me?
Yes.
What the hell? I'll say Chloe. For no reason other than I got to pick one, I'll say Chloe.
Kevin?
I'm going Chloe as well.
I am too.
You're all correct. That was Chloe. I need a nice cold juicy peach right now. I need a nice cold juicy peach
Neither
right
of them
now.
Has eaten fruit in 10 years.
I know.
I'm going Snooki.
I think I am too.
Sure, why not?
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Yeah.
Snooki it is.
Right?
I love how people with the same cars always check each other out. Hashtag, mine's better. I love how people with the same cars always check each other out. Hashtag, mine's better.
I'm going to say Chloe just because that sounds like an awfully complicated, well-put-together, complex tweet
more
for
clever,
Snooki.
But,
right?
I also think her family has more money, so she probably drives a better car.
Notices that.
I'm going Chloe as well.
All Chloe
I'm going to have to
here?
Go Snooki then.
Lisa's going Snooki just for a point.
Yes.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not
going to
tell them to get off.
Bitch!
Nice.
Snooki! Lisa's in the lead with two. I have one. Bean's still zero.
Zero?
This whole time he has zero.
Wasn't there one where you all voted the same person?
Yeah, I just don't put
a point in there.
Yeah.
It's a wash.
It's a
wash. I got you. Okay. Taken two? Yes! Exclamation point.
Taken
two. Well, that's
two.
America. That's just America.
Taken two? Question mark? Yes!
Taken two?
Obviously a reference to the title of the film.
Movie. Yeah.
She saw the trailer or something.
I can see anyone being excited about that, but I'll just say Snooki. I'll say Snooki on this one.
Chloe.
Taken two, yes. Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
So now it's a tie at the top between Kevin and Lisa, right?
That's right.
Yep.
All right. We'll keep going now. At this point, sudden death.
Sudden death.
Okay. We have
except
a winner.
Except for Bean.
Bean is out between Kevin and Lisa.
So should I bother even weighing in?
Yes, because I need to know which way to go.
Yeah. It's right not to go.
I'll never stop dreaming. Is the tweet.
On.
I'll never stop dreaming.
What about when you die?
I'll never stop
And is
dreaming.
That like dreaming about life or dreaming when I sleep?
I'm guessing it's dreaming about life. I'm assuming.
I'm going to say Chloe because she at least has ambition. Snooki doesn't. So I think Chloe would be doing the dreaming.
I'm going with Snooki.
I'm going with Snooki as well.
Chloe!
Kevin.
I could have.
Chloe.
Was clawing back in. 2-2-1.
This is. I just scored a field goal down by 24 with 2 minutes left.
I can't ever watch surgeries on TV. Freaks me out. I can't ever watch surgeries on TV. Freaks me out.
Oh, dear God.
I'm going with Chloe.
All right.
I'm going to go with Snooki.
All right.
Let's put this baby to bed.
Lisa's going for the win.
I'll say Chloe for this one.
Chloe! Yay!
I will give you a dollar.
Mother effer.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat.
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. Crowd's going crazy.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Nat Geo's Alien Deep. Boy, this looks awesome. We'll talk about that coming up just after the 7 o'clock hour, as I mentioned, with the man who discovered the Titanic. Bob Ballard joins us. Right now, though, Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Friday.
I'd like to go over Alien Deep. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think I know what you mean there, Ralph.
No.
Yeah.
It's unclear.
Alien Deep. Alien Deep.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets to the K-Rock Advanced screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Yeah!
Waiting on the kids now.
Brand new movie. It's going to be in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 21st, starring Emma Watson, Paul Rudd. Story of a young introverted freshman who's taken under the wings of two seniors who teach him the ways of the world. You can see it for anybody else if you want to go. Landmark, Thursday, September the 20th. I've got three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three people who get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower. We solved the Wizard of Oz mystery.
Thank God.
Did we?
Wow.
We came to the bottom of it.
That's great, because I was really worried.
One of our crack staff members, Chip, got on the blower and called the good folks there in Chesterton, Indiana. And
is
said,
that right?
Yes, and said, why is the Wizard of Oz Festival 80,000 strong this weekend being held in Chesterton, Indiana, which has no real connection as far as we can tell to the Wizard of Oz?
Mm-hmm. For folks who weren't with us last hour, I was distressed to find out it was in Indiana instead of Kansas, where it makes the most sense.
Yeah. Turns out that it was a retailer there in Chesterton, Indiana, who was trying to drum up business for the store.
Right.
Who just said, it's Wizard of Oz Day. Just like created
really?
The whole
just out of the blue.
And it kept growing and growing and growing. And now 80,000 people will descend on Chesterton, Indiana this weekend to celebrate the Wizard of Oz Festival. It was a completely arbitrary choice.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That's the best answer.
It is. It's great. It's
Hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Hi, Dave.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Just go to Chesterton. I'm sure you can just get tickets.
Well, that's anticlimactic, isn't it?
It's so awesome that
they just
decided to do it, and it blew up and took off. I was like, I'm going to go outside my house and say, it's Batman Day. Just wait for people to start showing up to my house, and we'll just all celebrate Batman.
That's bizarre.
It is bizarre. But I thought it was funny. All right. This Amanda Bynes.
Yes.
This young Miss Amanda Bynes.
She's the best.
If you go to TMZ.com today, you'll see the story. Apparently, she was attempting to leave a parking lot last night, driving her car.
Wasn't her license just taken away this past Sunday?
Sure. DMV has suspended her license.
But they didn't take away her car.
driving her car. And she was going through a parking lot, and she tapped the back bumper of another car as she was trying to leave, or some would say escape. And then she drove away without leaving a note or anything. She just tapped him and then just moved on. I would like to make let's call this an open letter,
okay,
to the Los Angeles Police Department. This woman has no license, apparently drives around smoking dope behind the wheel, and is still tapping cars. She's got two outstanding hit and run accidents that she has to face in court. Maybe you want to pay a visit. You got her address, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you want to pay a visit.
Stop by and say, hey, you got in that accident, you're smoking the pipe.
Hey, what are those, your car keys? Why don't you give those to us? We'd like to take your car for a drive to the impound lot.
Yeah.
Enough!
Where's Repo Games when you need it?
Where's Repo Games? I'm going to see Amanda Bynes try to answer questions for her car. I would think it's an embarrassment to LAPD and to the DMV that she's still driving around. I guess they can't make persecute her, especially because she's a celebrity, but the evidence is out there,
yeah,
right?
They could park an unmarked car in front of her house and just wait for her to pull out. Boom, done.
Oh, Lisa, look at you.
Not only that,
I'll
though,
do it.
You go, Fivo.
It does also kind of suggest to other people that have a expired driver or suspended driver's licenses that it's okay to go out there and drive. Nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying.
At least a citizen's arrest. That's what you should
do. Oh, Lisa, go.
I'm going to do
sit
it.
Sit
under
the front yard until the police come.
It's just baby after baby with these celebrities this week. A lot of babies. Nick Lachey. He and his wife, Vanessa Manillo, they had their first baby this week, Wednesday. A boy named Camden.
Camden?
Camden. Hmm. Camden Lachey.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
I can't help but think of Camden, New Jersey, across the river from my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which always smelt of burning tires every time I hear the name Camden. So I would not name a child Camden.
Yeah. I only think of Camden Yards, the Baltimore Orioles baseball park.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of, Kevin, when you hear Camden?
Blank slate. You know that.
Sure.
That's why you asked me.
Victoria's Secret model Adriana Lima.
Yes.
Also gave birth this week to a daughter, Sienna, in New York City. She is married to a former NBA player, Marko Jarić, or Jarić, I suppose it is. They already have a 2.5-year-old daughter named Valentina. And here's the thing. She just gave birth this week.
Right.
She is set to walk the runway for Victoria's Secret on November the 7th.
Wow.
She's got some work ahead of her, I'm guessing, before that happens. But the supermodels, for some reason, they don't have, they're not like us.
They gain 10 pounds.
That's why they're
pounds.
Super.
Yeah.
But
they
still,
actually
they're,
lose weight when they like, lose more weight than when
they
before
bounce
they got
back.
Pregnant.
They
yes.
bounce back from pregnancies unlike any other creature on the planet. It's ridiculous.
They're Teflon.
Superhuman.
They're Teflon. They have Teflon vulvas. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's why the babies shoot through so easily. No stick.
I saw the Teflon vulvas last
night. Did you? Yeah. Aren't they great? And Britney Spears, of course, the judge on X Factor. X Factor, by the way, not doing well in the ratings.
Oh.
It's lost to The Voice both nights, and it is like 32% down from where it was last year.
It's just not very interesting. I watched some of it.
I don't like any of those shows, but that one particularly strikes me as stunt casting. Like,
it's a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you get Britney Spears, you're not, she's not really a judge.
She is trying her best to stay sober. Keep focused. Her representatives have told the producers of The X Factor there's to be no alcohol backstage at any time, anywhere. Because she's like a bloodhound. She will sniff it out and just start lapping it up off the floor if someone spills rubbing alcohol outside the medic station. Also, she can't receive any as a gift. No complimentary bottles of champagne, job well done, none of that stuff.
Right.
And insiders around the show are claiming that she is quite insecure and insists that no one on the staff be too pretty.
No,
how do
that's
you
not
really now?
That's
nobody can be prettier than me, said Britney.
Too late.
So L.A. Reid was fired. Today's celebrity Britney. I'm going to find it. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to find it. And I'm going to physically rip it out of whatever machine it is.
Got
you
a lot
play
of copies of it. Don't worry about it.
Birthdays today. Walter Koenig from Star Trek, 76 years old today. Sam Neill from the Jurassic Park turned 65. My movie wife. Someone just fart.
That was weird.
My movie wife, Melissa Leo from Red State, she also won an Oscar for a little film called The Fighter. She's 52 years old.
It's not coming out of me. I know that.
She's 52 today. Dan Cortese. He was on Veronica's Closet. He was an MTV VJ. He made some movies. 45 years old. Tyler Perry is 43. Craig Montoya. Prepare to die. He is 42 from Everclear. Bassist. Andrew Lincoln from Walking Dead is 39. And Beer Mug celebrates his birthday today. He is 29 years old. I know, it's hard to believe. Leave him alone. He's had a hard life. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Unbelievable how much show is still to come here on this Friday Kevin and Bean Show. Beautiful actress Mia Jovovich is going to be joining us, talking about the new Resident Evil movie. Actress Ari Greener from For a Good Time Call is going to be here. The former governor of the great state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, has a new book out. He'll be coming up. And Cousin Sal has your football picks. That's all on the way here at K-Rock. What about Sunday night, Kevin? What about Nat Geo Channel? What about the Alien Deep? The first four of 5 hours of the Alien Deep are going to be airing. How awesome does this stuff look?
4 hours in a row.
Wow.
Yes. Couldn't be more excited to welcome Dr. Robert Ballard to the program. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Well, great to talk to you. You know, I went to Downey High School. I grew up in L.A. So
how about that?
Nice.
Glad to be on your phone here.
Thank you.
Well, you're a very famous guy because you, of course, led the expedition that discovered the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean way back in 1985. And I assume that your fascination with the oceans even goes back beyond that, right?
Absolutely. Like, you know, I grew up in L.A., but then when I was in high school, I got a scholarship to Scripps down in La Jolla,
and I went out on my first expedition 53 years ago, and I haven't missed a year since.
Wow.
140 expeditions later, and more to come, and this series is cool. We've been shooting it for 4 years, traveling all over the world as only National Geographic can do, and I hope you like it. It's a lot of work went into it.
I can't wait to talk about some of the stuff that you're focusing on this Sunday night. And I think that most of us, tell me if I'm wrong about this, Bob, but most of us just kind of take the ocean for granted. We don't know that much about it. We know that it covers most of the Earth's surface, but we never think about what really goes on, you know, below the surface.
Well, I'll tell you something you probably don't know. America owns more land underwater than any other nation on our planet. 50% of our country is under the ocean, and we have better maps of Mars than a half of our own country, and it's full of resources that can drive our economy. There are trillions and trillions of dollars of resources beneath the sea that will really help make us energy sufficient and all sorts of other benefits from exploring the ocean.
Wow. You sound like a crazy man. That's so good.
No, it is. It's crazy that people are oblivious to the fact that most of our country is under the ocean. And more is going under as sea level rises. But
we'll be there
we
soon.
Now are actually mapping other areas where we can extend our claim. And we expect that in a few years, 70% of our country will be under the sea. And we just need to explore it. I mean, it's crazy that we're not exploring.
Well, one of the hours that you do on your Alien Deep special is called Inner versus Outer Space, and this is the hour that we wait till Monday night to see. But you actually are looking into the idea of future ocean colonies. You mean people living underwater, Bob?
No, not living underwater, living on the ocean. You know, when Katrina came into the Gulf, 25,000 people came ashore. People are already living out there, but what we're really talking about is when families move out there. Down in La Jolla at Scripps, they have a ship called a flip. It can literally flip vertical. And when it flips, you can't move it. It's extremely stable. And one of the futuristic, and it's not that futuristic because they're already using it, is that you can live in a very stable environment at sea. One of the parts of the program is about mariculture as we move from a hunter-gatherer society in the ocean to a farming and herding society. The productivity of the ocean will increase dramatically.
What's cell phone service like that far out, though?
Oh, it's excellent. I mean, you can do it between Catalina and L.A. It's just that you're going to see more and more people opting to get away from the craziness on land. You don't have to go that far out. You still can see beautiful view of Los Angeles. You ever been out there? I spent a childhood off Catalina looking back at L.A., beautifully lit at night.
How about that?
I'm talking about moving out onto the ocean and living out on the ocean.
How about that? Tell me about Wrecks of the Abyss. This is the 8 o'clock hour on Sunday. Of course, you're famous for finding shipwrecks. You found dozens of them, I imagine, throughout your career. What's special about these?
Well, this one goes way back into time. We spent the last 3 years, we have found more ancient shipwrecks than anyone else in the deep sea, anywhere else in the world. And the one that my favorite is the one we just found that's featured in Wrecks of the Abyss. We found a ship that sank when Xerxes was attacking Greece, 500 B.C. We found a shipwreck with human remains on the shipwreck because the Black Sea has no oxygen. It's the greatest preserver of history, and we have found amazing shipwrecks that are not that deep, actually, that have human remains. They have their organic content, and it's quite a series of discoveries, and you'll be seeing those Sunday night.
Did we have big ships that took lots of people out onto the water as long ago as 500 BC?
Well, we just found a very large, we just did it last week, so it's not in the show, maybe in a future show. But we were exploring far out to sea and found a ship from the time of Alexander the Great, which was a very large ship. And larger than any that's ever been found from what's called the Hellenistic period, and that just occurred a couple of days ago.
Are you positive? I mean, you find a shipwreck and you just go Alexander the Great. Let's say that.
Well, you can date them.
Okay,
you can date them pretty precisely. Their cargo can give you a very good date. So we've had multiple experts tell us that it's the same age as Hellenistic.
Hey, this is the voice of Dr. Robert Ballard here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the Nat Geo Channel Alien Deep specials that air on Sunday night and then again on Monday night at 8. What happens to the valuables, the riches that you find that have been underwater for 1,000 years? Who gets them? Do you get them as, is it a finder's keeper situation, or do they belong to the governments of the country that sent the boat, or what happens?
Well, the law of the sea now, as you know, extends out of the ownership of countries 200 miles. And if they can prove their country goes even further, they can extend it. So in the Mediterranean, the Black Sea, you're in someone else's territory. So in the case of the discoveries we made recently between Cyprus and Egypt, we're in Cyprian water, so they're owned by Cyprus. They were aboard, participated. The shipwreck from the classical period in the Black Sea, that was in Turkish waters. So these are controlled by the host nation. If you get far out to sea, when we begin our journey around the world starting in June, we will be looking in areas where you're on the high seas, and in that case, it is finders keepers. Unless
see, that's where you score right there.
Well, like when we found the Bismarck, for example, it was far out to sea in international waters, but a warship is forever owned by the country. So the Bismarck, when we found it in 16,000 feet of water, it's still owned by Germany.
I got a lot of rules in your world.
Stupid rules.
All right. We know the rules.
Last question for you, Bob, and thank you very much for the time here today. I am fascinated by Ocean's Fury, the hour that is going to air at 10 o'clock. Just give me a few words about these rogue waves and tsunamis that seem like they're happening more often than ever. Is there anything to that?
Yes, the Earth is getting angrier. The Earth is getting energized. It's getting hotter and hotter, and it's exhibiting that in greater energy into tornadoes. Look at the tornadoes you guys have been talking about. Look at the hurricanes. And in the case of rogue waves, the incident of rogue waves is increasing. Ironically, on my first expedition as a 17-year-old out of Scripps, I was hit by a rogue wave. I was too young to be terrified, but it was 100 feet tall.
Wow.
And these are where it occurs in a spot. It isn't like a tsunami that travels away from the epicenter of an earthquake. Rogue waves are like the perfect storm, is where storm patterns from different parts of the earth add up. Imagine you dropped a rock in one end of a swimming pool and dropped one in another, and those wave patterns intersected. Most times they cancel, but in some cases they add up. And when they add up, that's a rogue wave. And if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're going to, you know, eat your farm, because most ships have vanished with no trace. We're suddenly sunk by rogue waves. You just have no warning of them.
Wow. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Nat Geo Channel, it all starts 7 o'clock Sunday night, The Alien Deep. Dr. Ballard, thanks for the time today. We enjoyed it.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, loud, loud.
Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show here on a Friday. It is 7:27. Why doesn't Kevin see this as a tribute, Ralph? The tribute that it is to him and his magic.
He's myopic. He doesn't get it.
Bean always thinks that he can talk to me like I'm, like I look.
Like you're Kevin-ing?
He's always like, oh no, it's a tribute. And
let
I'm
me
tribute.
To go, let me tell you something. If you speak like your special needs and you look like your special needs, what other conclusions is he supposed to come to?
That he's a duck. Kevin started the Kevin-ing phase. He was the first. He's the original Kevin-er. He was the first Kevin-er because he made a silly face and did something inexplicable with his hands when he was having his photograph taken for an ad for the ArcLight cinema chain. Which, by the way, we love ArcLight. This is in no way a poor reflection on ArcLight.
That's how it started. We wanted to be part of their celebration of their 10th anniversary. So Kevin and I signed up to do this promotion that they're doing
in the lobbies of their theaters.
Yes, exactly. Right. We're big fans.
So, but the way Kevin tells a story, and I'm sure it's getting lost to legend here, is that they sent him over a bunch of photos and said, which one do you want? And he said, well, I look bad in all of them, but just do me a favor and don't use this one.
Right, yeah.
And, of course, that's the one that they instantly put poster size in the theater. So, Ralph...
Did you say it verbally? I'm thinking, if you conveyed the message
verbally... King of
Mexico
backed me up. He was in on all of the going...
It may have sounded to them like... Photo used one good photo and not like go use now go photo. And maybe they thought that was the one you wanted.
Nope. They came back to me and said, "Our bad, do you want us to change it?" And I said, "No, I guess not."
Although I've heard from one source that they can't find you in the lobbies.
Oh, fantastic.
So maybe
they haven't taken the Kevining poster. You think it got stolen now because it's a piece of art history? The original Kevining?
A friend of mine said, I went to the Arc Line. I was looking all over for the original Kevining, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So I don't know. Maybe Kevin's got minions at work or something.
Love it.
Well, so we started a gallery at kevinandbean.com. You can also see it at the top of krock.com right there on the homepage, where listeners by the hundreds have been sending in their photos. And I love the fact that it's all ages and sizes and colors and creeds and little kids and pets and the whole deal. But I also love the trend that people are taking them in unusual places, like Angel Stadium, Dodger Stadium, AT&T Park in San Francisco. We've got them, all these people posing with the Stanley Cup.
An ancient temple in Thailand.
Yes, yes. Finland is represented. Sweden is represented. Sarah Shahi on the set of Access Hollywood Live, she's represented. So people are just taking them wherever they want and sending them in, and it's awesome.
Here's the thing. When Ralph first saw the picture, he fell off his chair laughing. And then he came up with the idea of Kevining. And I thought, oh, that's all right. But it'll last a day or two.
Yeah, did you think that?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You don't know our listeners.
I don't know.
Tina Fey has Kevin.
Sure. From 30 Rock. Come on now.
Jack McBrayer, who plays Kenneth on 30 Rock, also from the set of 30 Rock. He sent us a picture.
Aren't they supposed to be making TV shows
Dana
or something?
Dana White, president.
Yeah.
Of the UFC, yeah.
Bianca Kylik, of course, the beautiful actress from the 10 Things I Hate About the 7 Rules About Dating Your Mother, whatever that show is.
Late Night Superstar Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel has also done some Kevining.
Jimmy also wrote an email that said, my favorite thing ever. And then that was the subject line, and then the body of the email was Kevining.
Yes.
So here's what we're asking. We're on another weekend now. It's Friday. Your goal
time
this
to
weekend.
Wrap it up.
Think about how much the Kevin and Bean Show has done for you over the years. Think about all the hours of entertainment that we've given to you for free as you prepare to go to work and school every single day,
year
after
year.
Think
about the times we didn't entertain you.
All we're asking is that you take a minute out of your busy schedule this weekend. You're at the beach. You're at a party. Wherever you are, you take a Kevining photo and send it to us. That's all we're asking.
And if you're a young lady, do it in the nude.
That's fine.
We don't have any nude Kevining pictures. I
can't be mad at that.
And I think we might have to expand the contest. We might need a video for our new smash hit song, which of course is sweeping the nation. All the kids at all the discotheques on the dance floor.
Let's not squeeze every last drop out of
are out there doing a new dance sensation based on the popular photograph series called Do the Kevining.
And no one's doing a dance.
Everyone
sensation.
Is doing it's it. Not, I know I'm doing it. Every time I hear the song, I'm doing it. We might have to work on a video and slap a video up there because the song is just so good.
Hey, boys and girls. Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining. And I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. Then two thumbs up, and this is no joke. To finish it off, have a stroke. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
I just had a stroke. Don't mock me.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think we need a video. By the way, the first band that has Kevined is our own phone screener Chip's band, Fiction Reform, outstanding Orange County band. The entire band in front of their
Chip
with their instruments, they are Kevining. And Ralph, we did get our first topless Kevining photo yesterday. I don't know if you saw that or not, but the beautiful amateur porn star Chloe Lamb did a topless Kevining photo for us yesterday.
Yeah, but she's not playing by the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like Kevining with one arm, one hand. The other hand is covering her up. And she's broken one of the main rules of Kevining, which is you have to have that weird palsy-esque two thumbs up hand gesture, as well as staring off into space above the lens of the camera. So,
Chloe, we need more topless Kevining photos from you until we get one right.
Use both hands where they should be properly. You know, use the proper form of Kevining.
Go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com. Check out the gallery and send yours in. We'll be right back here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Congratulations to our Epicenter winner, J.D. Childers from Compton. Got those tickets. Your chance to win is coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:41.
One thing I know about Compton is people there love the Stone Temple Pilots and Bush and Deftones and Scars on Broadway. J.D. is going to have a fantastic time. So about a week ago, our friend Seth Rogen tweeted this. If you like comedy, phone sex, friendship, and the image of me masturbating, then go see The Amazing Movie for a Good Time Call.
I thought, right till that last one.
That's what I'm saying. Seth, I don't know that you're doing any favors for this movie, but it's called For a Good Time Call. It opened up last Friday, and we couldn't be more delighted to have one of the stars of the film, Ari Grainer, joining us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ari. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
What we're saying is we don't want to see Seth Rogen masturbating. That's our point.
What? Who wouldn't want to see Seth Rogen masturbating? Are you kidding me?
Is it too late to edit that out?
You know what? I'll make a few calls.
Thank you.
See what I can do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
we
it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go.
We talked about this movie last week when it came out, heard very good things about it. But is it I'm always curious when you're a young actress like you are, how's a movie like this one about phone sex go over with the folks?
Let me tell you something. Our parents love this movie. It is very funny when we watch it with them. Lauren Miller is the other lead, and she also wrote it, and she produced it, and I executive produced it. We're all wearing a lot of hats in this. So our very, you know, supportive, sweet Jewish parents are, like, completely over-involved and email us about it every day, every piece of press. They've watched it a million times. Yeah, my mom was actually with me when I was in the sound booth recording some ADR. We have this keyboard in the movie that Lauren gets stoned and records some dirty things. So we have a sort of a digital keyboard online on our website.
Nice.
And so we had to go in the sound booth and record, you know, various words and sounds. And my mom was there the entire time.
Why? Why? That seems like that would be hard to...
It was like a bring your mom to work day. I don't know, what can I say? She was visiting. There I was earning my hard-earned dollars, and she was giggling in the background. It was very funny. Sometimes you look at your life and say, wow, some of my friends are teachers or social workers, and here I am talking dirty in front of my mom.
Right. The truth is that just like we never want to think of our parents as sexual beings, I don't think they want to think of us as sexual beings either. I just think that's something you just want to keep out of the frame, if at all possible.
I think it's probably true. I mean, the other thing about this movie is that it's so sweet. Like, yes, there is this, you know, phone sex piece, which is really funny and outrageous and actually loosely based on the real-life experience of the real Lauren and Katie. Katie was running a phone sex line out of her dorm in college. So there's some truth to the story, but at the same time, the movie is really about female friendship, and my character isn't quite what she seems. So I think that makes it a little bit more palatable for our parents and family friends.
Sure. You know, it's funny because we talked about Seth Rogen when you came on. I mean, he was in that Kevin Smith, Zach and Miri movie, which was about making porno, but was also a very sweet kind of relationship movie, too. I mean, there is a way to walk that line where it's kind of sexy but kind of fun and quirky at the same time.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when Lauren and Katie wrote the script, they wanted to write a story about friends. You know, there's actually so few movies that look at female friendship. There's a lot of movies about guys and their friends, but usually if it's a movie about women, it's about, you know, trying to get the cute neighbor next door. Well, I fall down. You know what I mean? Like, that tends to kind of be the stuff about women. So they wanted to write something different that was something that they would want to see and that was, you know, relatable. And so the phone sex piece was kind of the fun setting. And that's probably the way, you know, it was with Zach and Miri too, that it's like, you know, you want to tell one story and then you set it in a different world, and that becomes kind of the fun piece, but isn't the meat of it.
It seems like more and more this is the way things happen, is that everybody kind of looks around, they don't like what they see, so then they decide, well, I guess I'll just write something for myself.
Yeah.
And some of the best movies are made that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting now, especially with ladies around town, and a lot of funny ladies specifically have been kind of doing that. And Lauren and Katie, you know, wanted to set out to make it originally, you know, in a big studio place. And they all loved the script, but this is sort of before Bridesmaids, and everyone said, you know, sorry, we love it, but R-rated female comedies don't work.
Right.
And Lauren, you know, one night, you know, she woke up at 3 a.m. and said, you know, what am I doing? Like, this is my chance. We've written this character named Lauren. If it hasn't happened for me now, it's never going to happen. Let's make it on our own. And she even, in her email to Katie, said, you know, maybe Ari Grainer will play Katie and we'll premiere at Sundance. And that's what ended up happening. We shot it in 16 days, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah. And for very little money. And then it was the dream. We got into Sundance and had this insane reaction and Focus Features, you know, who puts out movies like Brokeback Mountain and Anna Karenina sure. and the Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, they're legit.
They clearly bought us. Just still such a shock. and here we are. So
well, we're hearing great things about it. And, of course, we mentioned Seth Rogen. He's in the film. Kevin Smith has a cameo in the movie. Ken Marino, who we love so much, is in the movie. Justin Long, yeah. who's always – I mean, you got a fantastic cast, and it sounds like a super, super fun story. So we're really happy for you, Ari. It sounds awesome.
Aw, thanks.
The movie is called For a Good Time Call. It is in theaters today, or actually last Friday, but you can look for it theaters all weekend long. And, of course, the website is foragoodtimecallmovie.com. Ari, thanks for joining us on The Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
If you got one of those crazy old relatives who comes over at Thanksgiving and mutters to himself about aliens and Jell-O, and you never look forward to seeing him, that's how we feel, knowing that our crazy Uncle Jesse Ventura is going to be joining us right after
Love
the
it.
Top of the hour. That'll be fun. He's got a new book out telling us why America is horked. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Kevin loves crazy politicians.
I do.
You know, yesterday I was, it was one of those days where I had two meetings in the afternoon, but not enough time really to go home.
So you had to figure out what
so
to
I had
do
to stay
waste
on
time.
This side of the hill. What am I going to do kind of thing? And it turned out the exact time I needed it, there was a showing of Expendables 2. At the Grove.
Right.
And I was around the corner, so I just popped into the theater there. Wow, why didn't anybody tell me what an epic, legendary, classic film Expendables 2 was? Talking about old crazy governors, that's what made me think of it, is of course Schwarzenegger appears in it.
Yeah.
And says a variation of I'm back or I'll be back about 15 times through the course of the film.
They did.
We're like, we get it. That was his catchphrase. Let it go.
They did overuse that a bit.
I'm back. I'll be right back. I'll be back. Until Bruce Willis finally says, no, you said back enough.
Yeah, that happened. It's not a classic.
Then Schwarzenegger says about Bruce Willis, yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah,
I mean, they use everybody's catchphrase from every movie they ever made. Chuck Norris shows up. I was like, I thought you were a lone wolf. Because he was in a movie called Lone Wolf McCabe.
Wow, that's a reach.
This movie does look good.
I actually enjoyed it, though.
Did you? Me too.
It's a big.
It's a crap fest, but
really?
It's fun. Yeah,
but it's like a crap fest in the truest sense of like those old 80s action movies, which they just seem to crank out by the dozen every month back in that day, where everybody's just shooting up everything, and it was really sort of well done and just really a guilty pleasure. So I actually enjoyed myself, but I could not believe how heavy they leaned on other people's catchphrases
yeah.
throughout that entire film. At one point, Chuck Norris turns to Bruce Willis and says, "Who's coming next, Rambo?" Stallone, of course, stars in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, that happened. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on with the showbiz news. While we're talking about movies, Bean is so cute. He sent me an email with news about a comic book movie, thinking that I needed it. Oh, you're so cute, Bean. I love you. You're adorable. I appreciate the thought, but that was just so cute. He's telling me Anthony Mackie's going to be Falcon in the new Captain America. I told the newspaper that. The Falcon! The Falcon's coming!
No, noted, you have Captain America news pretty much wrapped up.
The Falcon is coming to Captain
okay.
America.
I don't know what any of that means.
How exciting is that? Sam Wilson, the Falcon!
What's his special power?
Hey, Cap, what brought that old bugaboo back?
That's from a classic animated version of Captain America.
Sam Very Wilson, well, then. African...
The Falcon has spoken.
That's right, African-American superhero.
Okay, and does he just fly?
And he talks to Falcons.
Oh, he controls the Falcons.
Yeah, how about that? Not the Atlanta Falcons, of course.
No.
What if he runs into Eagle Man, though? Could,
There's
I mean,
no
would that
Eagle
be
Man.
A struggle? Why not?
Stop
Why could there
it.
Be a guy who talks to eagles?
There's no Eagle Man. Open up a blog.
Get on it, Bean.
Godzilla's coming back to the big screen. I'm very excited about this. Because the one they tried... That Roland Emmerich piece of crap with Matthew yep. Broderick.
Oh, my God. I remember that as being one of the worst movies ever.
It was. Brutally bad.
Wow, that was terrible.
And it didn't look like Godzilla. Remember, they kind of remade him, rebooted him and everything.
And I like crappy movies.
And this one needs to be like good crappy.
Yeah. You know?
Warner Brothers has announced they are in production for Godzilla 3D. It'll be in theaters right before Memorial Day next year, 2013.
Hang on, let me make a note.
They're going back to the roots. which means there'll be nuclear testing in the South Pacific, and an undersea earthquake sets Godzilla free, and the radiation gives him superpowers, and he breathes radiated mist and stuff, and it'd be awesome. I can't wait.
You know, they never stopped making them in Japan. You know, yeah. they still. I mean, I saw Godzilla versus Space Godzilla was on TV the other night.
There's been more than 25 Godzilla films. That's the franchise, 25.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like the James Bond of Tokyo. So that's good news. And TV news, Lisa will be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so will Matt LeBlanc. His Showtime comedy Episodes was just picked up for a third season yesterday.
I love that show.
Matt plays a fictionalized version of himself, basically. But it's good to know he's working in television. And hopefully someday someone will see that show and enjoy it. So that's good news. Lisa, they send her the copies now.
They don't even bother broadcasting.
Nobody else can see that show but me.
They just mail the copies of Episodes to her so she gets it.
And Malin Ackerman is in talks for a new TV series called Trophy Wife for ABC. Apparently the show is about a former party girl who marries a guy with three manipulative kids and two ex-wives. That sounds like a horror film.
Does hilarity ensue?
I think hilarity does ensue, yes. I love that Malin Ackerman. She's sexy and funny. As is Ari Grainer. Great interview, guys. She was really entertaining. I enjoyed that.
It was all her, man. She's personality plus.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Walter Koenig from Star Trek is 76 years old today. Sam Neill from the Jurassic Park movies. Also, he was great in Tutors, if you watched that series. 65 years old. Melissa Leo from The Fighter. She won an Oscar for that film. She's been in a ton of movies, including Red State with me. 52 years old. Tyler Perry, actor and director, is 43. Craig Montoya from Everclear is 42. And Andrew Lincoln. From the Walking Dead.
Dear Wendy. Walking Dead. Dear Wendy.
He's 39. It's Beer Mug's birthday, too. So if you see him, just give him a shot right in the ribs.
Hey!
Just punch him right in the ribs.
Fantastic.
I meant, or buy him a drink. I'm Ralph Garman.
We're going to talk to actress Mia Jovovich, who I think Kevin has a little bit of a crush on, coming up in about a half an hour or so. Her new film is called Resident Evil Retribution. And who should you be betting on, theoretically, for the NFL weekend? Cousin Sal has your football picks coming up next hour as well. Well, it's been a while since we caught up with the governor. Jesse Ventura on the line. His new book is called Democrips and Rebloodlicans. Hey, Jesse, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
It's great to be back, but don't forget that subtitle, No More Gangs in Government.
No More Gangs in Government. Yeah, you come down pretty hard on pretty much 99.9% of the people running our country in this book, Jesse.
Well, it's the Democrats and the Republicans that have ran our country for the last 150 years, so they're completely responsible for the horrible situation our country's in today.
I was already depressed before I picked up your book, and I read most of it last night, and I don't see any way out. I feel like the corruption is so entrenched in government, and the media is so complicit in it, that I don't see how there's any way we're ever going to break free of any of this, Jesse. Really, I mean, your book really did depress me even more.
Well, good. And I say that in the fact that it also educated you on how horrible these two gangs are, and I refer to them as gangs. And I'll say this, since you're out in L.A., these two gangs do the country more harm than the Crips and Bloods ever could. And
now,
I'll tell you why. Because you have to live in the neighborhood where the Crips and the Bloods are probably to be affected by them.
Right.
Democrats and Republicans affect every single person in this country.
Do you see any difference between the two, or to you they're just both bad?
They're both bad. They've created a system that's based completely on bribery. Now, if we do bribery in the private sector, what happens? We go to jail. And yet they can accept all these bribes, and in light of this new Supreme Court decision that corporations have the rights of an individual and that money is free speech, get this, the country of China could control our next election.
All right.
All they would have to do is form a corporation. They could pump billions of dollars to the candidates they want, because the other horrible thing is they don't even have to fully disclose where the money comes from.
Yes. Yeah, you lay that out real well in the book. I mean, it is shocking. And I don't feel like there was that much of there was that much outrage in America when that decision came down that corporations can donate as much as they want sight unseen to political candidates. Why are not people not revolting in the street over that, Governor?
It might be the water.
What?
You all laugh about it, but let me explain something.
It might be what?
The water.
The last couple years.
Okay.
Okay. Back in the 50s, they put fluoride in all our water, right, to help our teeth?
Right.
Well, you know who the first people were to put fluoride in water? The Nazis.
Okay.
Okay. why do we need fluoride in water to help our teeth? That's our mom and dad's job, to teach you how to brush your teeth and use mouthwash.
Well, I think
that
most...
Well, here, let me explain. Fluoride is the major ingredient, like 90% Prozac.
But I think most dentists recommend fluoride in the water, too, for health and teeth safety, right?
Well, who's telling them to do that?
Look, I don't think because...
You got the pharmaceutical industry controlling this country, so you have virtually hardly any way to seek any alternative medicine.
But what I'm saying...
They put you on a drug, and if there's a side effect, they give you another drug for that drug.
No, I agree with that. But I don't think fluoride in the water is making people turn away from politics or turn away from protesting or turn away from complaining. I mean, I think most of us just look at it as it's too big for us to handle. And really, all we can do is decide who we're going to vote for. And when we walk into the booth, realistically, in November, Jesse, one of the two major party candidates is going to be the president. We just have to decide who's the lesser of two evils and vote for one of them. We don't have any other choice.
Exactly. And as the late, great Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead, said, if you're made to pick the lesser of two evils, it means you're still picking evil.
Right, but we don't have any choice. Those are the options that we have. We don't.
We still have that bare minimum choice that of the vote. Now, changing the country, it's as simple as voting. It's as simple as the nose on your face, but it's as difficult as climbing Mount Everest. Stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. I am going to proudly vote for Governor Gary Johnson, the former New Mexico governor when I was governor of Minnesota, who's running under the Libertarian. I urge people, if you've had enough of this, stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. Vote for Gary Johnson.
I know that one of the things that you lay out at the end of your book is your suggestion for step one on how to get the country back on track is to eliminate political parties, is just have candidates that express how they feel and you vote for them whether you believe in that guy or not. And that way you don't have straight down the ticket line party votes. But that's unrealistic. I mean, it's a dream to suggest something like that could ever happen. You know that, right?
Wait, slow down. It could be so simple as this. It could be done locally. Why do we allow gang names on a ballot? Just put the candidate's name. The party names are there so that they can control you. If you're conservative, you don't have to know the candidate. You look for the name Republican. If you're liberal, again, you don't have to know the candidate. Look for Democrat. Remove those names, as simple as that is. Then it becomes inherent for us as voters to know what does John Smith stand for. You'll have to learn about him. And something as simple as that could have a huge effect on our elections.
I don't doubt that for a second. What I'm saying is, you know, as you type those words, that's not going to happen. The system is too big and too entrenched for it to change overnight like that.
Well, then you don't. It won't change overnight. It's taken a long time to corrupt it as bad as it is, and the road to hoe is going to be difficult. But, you know, I still have faith. I believe we can take our country back.
Dean, I think you're part of the problem.
I'll throw this at you. No, you'll love this. Between now and 2016, if a grassroots movement started throughout this country without money to get me on the ballot in all 50 states, and if we could have a grassroots movement to guarantee I could be in the debates, I would run for president in 2016 with no party, just Jesse Ventura.
I would vote for you in 1 second, because I'm afraid of you.
You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm no one to be afraid of.
I was curious, Jesse. We're almost out of time here. We're talking to Governor Jesse Ventura here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Again, the book available everywhere now is called Democrips and Rebloodlicans. I was curious, and I was going to ask you why you're working outside the system rather than inside, but it sounds like you just answered that question. You are willing to do it if you feel like you can compete on a fair playing field, right?
Well, all you got to do is get me ballot access in all 50 states and ensure I'm allowed to debate. Look at... We haven't had a third voice in a presidential debate now for 20 years.
Right.
And isn't
right.
it interesting? They tell you that competition's good in the private sector, and yet no competition in the public sector. You get the choice, as Ralph Nader put it, the two-party dictator system. Remember this. The two parties choose your president. You don't. Because all they do is offer you up one person from each gang, and you're made to pick from the gang.
We have just scratched the surface of all the things for you to be sad about America. If you want to pick up Jesse's book, as I mentioned, it's available everywhere. It's always great to have you on the program. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure. And hi to all my friends and everybody out in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Jesse.
I have a question, and that is, why does Kevin hate?
Why does Kevin hate Bob Dylan?
Kevin hates lots of things for lots of reasons. I got to be honest. I think he may have a small point on
Thank
this one.
Thank you.
Why does Kevin hate
Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan is one of the greatest entertainers of the 20th century.
Easy. And easy. I'm calling BS on
easy.
That.
And is
Hold on. You might love his songs.
He may be one of the greatest artists of the 20th
century. He's not a showman.
But he is.
I've seen him in concert a number of times.
He entertained people.
And I enjoy it. Yeah, he's not Bruce Springsteen. I'm going to grant you that. But the problem that Kevin has specifically, and I think it's probably been a number of years since you listened to a Bob Dylan song, is that his voice has been deteriorating since day one. He didn't start out with the greatest voice in the world. Here's Bob, just about 10 seconds or so of Bob back in 1963, singing one of his popular songs.
Well, it ain't no use sitting and wonder why.
Can't understand him.
And you don't know by now.
All right, kind of. At least you can kind of make out what he's saying.
Barely.
So the 70s, his voice gets a little rougher. The 80s, it's starting to sound
better.
Here he is in the mid-1990s with a song from his album Time Out of Mind that won the Album of the Year at the Grammys this year. Here's how Bob was sounding in the 90s.
Shadows are falling. And I've been here all day.
Not a conventional, beautiful voice.
What'd you say?
It's too hot to sleep.
That's it, he's out.
And time is running away.
Look, some guys are such good at songwriting that you forgive their voice. And I think that's the case with Dylan. He's such a brilliant songwriter that you forgive the voice.
Well, now we're in 2012, and Bob has a new album that just came out this week.
Woo!
It's his 35th studio album. And Kevin, I'm dying to know what inspired you after all these decades to finally go out on your own and seek a Bob Dylan song out.
You told me that he had a song about the Titanic that was 14 minutes long with no chorus. 42 verses and no choruses.
Right.
And I thought, that first of all, that's not possible. But second of all, I must hear it. So I went to iTunes and I listened just to a 20-second clip, and I said,
Ship went on sail, and they hit an iceberg, and they sank, and they were all wet then.
But first of all, when I hear this...
It's the wreck!
I'm way out. I guess it's the style of music is like, no thank you, Bob Dylan. So now what they're doing is they're playing the theme, and that's the theme, okay?
Gotcha.
So what he does is, he does four... stanzas, is that what you call it, or lines in a verse?
Yes, yes, it would be, yeah.
And then repeats that exact same verse structure over and over and for 14 minutes.
But he's got brand new words in each verse, right?
The pale moon rose in its glory out of the western town.
It's two, here's three.
She told a sad, sad story of the great ship that went down.
All right, now you've heard everything that he has to offer musically. He does change the lyrics some, but then it just continues.
'Twas the 14th day of April, over the way she rode, sailing into tomorrow, to a golden age foretold.
By the way, we need a Titanic song now?
But it's not like he does it 44 times for 14
the
minutes.
The night was bright with starlight red. The seas were sharp and clear. Moving through the shadows, the promised hour was near.
All right, instrumental. Here we go.
Lights were holding steady, gliding over the foam. All the lords
don't
and
with
ladies
home. Don't run fun with home.
Heading for their eternal home.
How dare you, sir?
The chandeliers were swaying from the balustrades above.
Don't say love.
Was playing the songs of faded love.
I will kill you.
He writes.
Now he can't write songs anymore either.
Like a second grader, Bean.
So what you're saying is you've heard enough of this song and you're 1 minute in. How are there 13 more minutes?
We are a minute and a half in.
Wow.
This song is 14 minutes long.
Let's listen to it all.
He does 44 verses.
Yes!
No!
44, the same thing.
With nothing in between to break it up, nothing to give you a little musical interlude, nothing.
Usually you have to go to a drunken pub to hear a song of this quality. It's with people brutal. Swaying big flagons of beer back and forth.
But they think it sounds good because they're drunk.
The Watchman, he lay dreaming as the ballroom dancers twirled.
World. Don't say world.
He dreamed that
Don't
Titanic
you say world.
Was sinking into the underworld.
Ah, I won't kill you. Oh, there's some music.
Oh, there's some music.
All right. Now he needs to take a break and get his notes together again so he can start rhyming again.
No, there are no notes. He's making it up as he goes along.
Holy cow, Bean. You can't tell me this is good.
It does sound like
bad.
99 bottles of beer on the wall, doesn't it?
Leo took his sketchbook.
Leo took
he
his
was
sketchbook.
Off and so inclined.
He wasn't on the Titanic. That was the movie, Bob.
This is my favorite part. Now, he's not talking about the Titanic. He's talking about Titanic, the movie with Leo what's his name?
DiCaprio.
DiCaprio. Now he's talking about the movie.
He wrote this while he was watching the movie.
Yeah, as if it was part of the actual
story.
He thinks
it's a documentary.
He closed his eyes and painted the scenery in his mind.
He's now describing the movie.
Cupid struck his bosom and broke it with a snap. The closest woman to him, he fell into her lap.
What's he going to rhyme with Kate Winslet's boobies?
You still in?
Here's my
Titanic at the movies.
We're at 2.5 minutes now, Bean. It's 14
here's
minutes
what I'm
long.
Saying.
Kevin is right on this one.
I love
Bob Dylan.
Dylan
needs to shut the F up.
I can't say that this is going to be my favorite song on the new record. This is probably not one I'll listen to every time it comes up on shuffle on my iPod.
He heard a loud commotion.
A commotion.
Something sounded wrong.
Is it ocean
long,
or
don't say long?
His inner spirit was saying that he couldn't stand here long.
Oh, God damn you, Bob Dylan.
Here's the other thing.
I've just guessed every rhyme he's done, every verse.
Here's the other thing, Bean, and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not a big Bob Dylan fan. He used to have real meaningful songs. They would say something.
Yes.
Well, he's done a little bit of both. He has done dozens of songs that are just so cryptic, no one understands it but Bob. No one has any idea what the hell he's talking about. That's kind of what he's famous for.
But here, he's just describing what happened, which is a story that we're all super familiar with.
I get the impression, you're right on this, that he's grandpa sitting in the recliner just singing whatever he sees in front of him.
Right.
I mean,
he's watching Titanic the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
And then his cat walks in front of the TV and he sings
then
about that.
The cat walked in front of me.
He staggered to the quarter deck. No time now to sleep.
Sleep? All deep.
Water
I smell deep.
Quarter deck. Already 3 foot deep.
Oh, man.
And scene.
3 minutes in. Still got 11 to go. So listen to that on your own time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It's a huge couple of weeks here for Resident Evil fans. Resident Evil 6, the new game, comes out on October 2nd. Resident Evil 5, Retribution, is the new film opening in theaters today. We couldn't be more excited to welcome back to the program Mia Jovovich. Hi, Mia. How are you?
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Very well. Thank you.
It was super fun to hang out with you and Michelle in San Diego at Comic-Con.
That was so great.
We don't get to see you in person very often, you know.
It's so fun to do stuff with Michelle because we just get a kick out of each other.
Because she's crazy, let's be honest.
I know. She's
good crazy.
was she more crazy or more drunk that day that we saw her? Do you remember?
Well, she doesn't have babies yet, so she can afford it.
Okay.
Good for her.
You know, bless her, you know. As long as you go before you have kids.
Yep.
We are very excited about this movie. Kevin, in particular, has been looking forward to this for a long time. Kevin, you've seen all the Resident Evils. Like you never miss them, right?
Yes.
And Retribution picks up right where...
You haven't.
I have not, no. I don't get out. I don't leave the house much.
Bean doesn't like action movies even much.
Oh, really?
He's sort of girly.
Like emotional kind of chick flicks?
I don't know if I'd say chick. Look, I'm not saying that there can't
be... documentary man.
I'm not saying there can't be big action movies that are also great character movies and great storylines and stuff like that, because there certainly are. I'm just generally not drawn to them, although I hear wonderful things about this franchise. And I hear that Retribution picks up like right after the last movie ends, where the last one ends, right?
It sure does, and it's quite an epic opening. I mean, you know, this movie from top to bottom, I think, is really the best Resident Evil yet. And it looks so spectacular. I mean, Paul puts so many incredible ideas when it comes to camera work, when it comes to style, when it comes to sets and locations and just the scope, you know, and especially with the 3D element, it just, it's so beautiful because we have these great action sequences in the rain, this amazing action sequence in the snow, and so it's just beautifully shot. And I have to say, across the board, people have been very impressed by the look of the film.
Tell us about all the traveling that you did. We were talking to you about that at Comic-Con. It seems like you went to pretty much every continent.
We had units in Tokyo. We had units in Moscow. We closed down Red Square for 3 days so that they could get all the shots that they needed so we could recreate it in a computer and also on a stage.
How do you close Red Square?
It takes a lot of police officers and a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it. You pay off whatever Russian dude is standing in front of you with his hand out. You just give him cash.
I mean, it was quite a challenge. As you can imagine, people were not happy. But I have to say, when people knew it was for Resident Evil, they were much, I mean, if they weren't like old people, but I mean, they were really excited about it. So we had people standing around and cheering. It was cool.
Now, in this particular movie, you're not only killing, all the bad guys, but you're also protecting a child. That's very different for your character.
You know, it is. I love how Paul kind of takes elements now of our personal life and sort of sneaks it into the movie. But, you know, having a child in the family definitely was a big turning point in both of our lives. And to have this element of, you know, this family life that Alice never had, but now, you know, we're experiencing this, just what gave the character this wonderful complexity for me and really just made you feel for her so much, because, you know, in a way, you know, this is of course too perfect and it can't last.
Right.
Not for life.
Don't you feel so lucky, Mia? You see all the heat that the Twilight chick, Kristen Stewart, is getting for sleeping with her director. You do it every time. No one says boo. Not a word about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, I'm not cheating on
No, anybody. You're not. As a matter of fact, it's expected in your set.
Exactly. Well, we know you got to go. Resident Evil Retribution is the name of the film. Mia Jovovich, one of the stars. Michelle Rodriguez is back, and she looks fantastic in this movie. Of course, directed by Mia's husband, Paul W.S. Anderson, hence the joke. Always wonderful to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time again today.
Nice to see you guys.
Cousin Sal talks NFL coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then Justin Bieber trying to become a man, all in the next half hour. First, Ralph's here with the show. Biz, good morning, Ralph.
Yeah, Biebs. He's a man.
Yeah, he is a man.
18 years old, he's got the world at his feet.
Before we get to the showbiz news, real quickly, just love this story. Just love it so much. You know how we all are. This sounds like a Kevin move.
How dare you?
This sounds like something Kevin would do.
Wait, I'll reserve judgment.
This guy had a traffic ticket, and he had to pay it off. He didn't want to pay it off. He was bitter and grumpy about paying it off. It's one of those red light cameras.
All right, so far sounds like me.
Right. $137. Is what the penalty was for running the red light and being caught by camera. So he shows up to pay off the ticket at the police station, and he pays it off with 137 $1 bills folded into origami pigs.
Oh my God!
And brings them down to the station in two Dunkin' Donut boxes. So he's got a bunch of little pigs in donut boxes to give to the cops.
How much time did he spend doing that?
Glad you asked, Kevin. It took him 6 hours to fold all $137 bills into the shape of origami pigs and to put them in the donut boxes to deliver to the police station.
You got to admire that.
He's hitting you with the pigs and the donuts, all the cliches.
Yep.
This is where the story becomes more Kevin to me. He gets down there, and the cashier at the police station says, I'm not going to accept this money.
Hey, that's until, money. That's
until
US,
it's unfolded.
It's U.S. currency.
That's what the guy said. It's U.S. currency. And look at all the little pretty little piggies, he said. I'm not going to unfold $137 bills. Yeah. Then a police officer shows up and says, I think you are going to unfold all of those bills.
Really?
Now it's a showdown. They can make you unfold the bills?
Guess what the guy did?
stood there and unfolded all 137
another
bills.
6 hours. Oh, that was a long day.
A little less time to unfold than to fold, but turns out his smart-ass hijinks weren't looked upon with much of a sense of humor down there at the police
station. I'm giving you a zero for the day.
So his gag ended up backfiring as he stood there and unfolded each and every bill.
That's funny.
Presented it to the cashier.
We've seen guys show up with, you know, a barrel of pennies or whatever. They try to make it as miserable for the other side as possible, but it doesn't always work out. I'm going to hire this dude when I have to pay my $50 to money at the end of the baseball season like I do every year. I'm going to hire this dude to make origami pigs for me.
Great idea.
Love it.
Fantastic.
Heard you guys a little earlier before the Beastie Boys song play a little ID from Bill Hader.
Yes.
Funny man from SNL. He's in the news today. He has been added to the cast of this Larry David HBO movie.
Oh, great.
That David's doing for the movie. This thing just gets better and better the more I hear about it. As I've talked a little about it before, Larry isn't returning to Curb Your Enthusiasm, at least not anytime soon, but he is doing a comedy movie for HBO called Clear History. It's about a guy who loses an argument with his boss at a new electric car company, and as a result loses his stake in the company, which turns out to then be a billion-dollar startup.
Oh.
So you can imagine Larry David's bitterness and frustration when he loses out on that money. The boss visits his summer house on the island where Larry now lives, and he decides to get his revenge. That's the premise of the film.
Love it.
The cast is slowly but surely coming together. Bill Hader, Kate Hudson, Danny McBride, Eva Mendes, nice. John Hamm, and Michael Keaton.
Wow!
Will all be in the movie. And it's going to be largely improvised like Curb Your Enthusiasm is. So.
And by in, you mean you're not going to watch.
No,
I'm oh, wait, it's on television.
It's on your TV.
He doesn't have to go anywhere.
I'll
watch
see that.
That.
Yeah. Right.
So that just sounds terrific. I can't wait.
Speaking of SNL, Ralph.
Oh.
What about your little pal Seth MacFarlane tomorrow night?
Yeah, he's going to be hosting the debut episode of the new season, the 38th season of Saturday Night Live tomorrow night. You can
so excited
out.
To see.
I do not watch
again.
That show, but I will watch tomorrow night because Seth's the man.
Yep. Now, did he contact you about a hilarious Ted sketch where he needs you to recreate your role as the dad?
He did, but I said, no, I don't want to leave Kevin and Bean the Lurch and go to New York and be on Saturday Night Live. I want to stay here and do more voices of sexually aggressive dolphins.
Yes, you do.
So I rejected his offer.
That has been your dream.
I rejected his offer.
You're not going to turn your back on Stinky.
I wanted to be Stinky, the sexually aggressive dolphin. That's what I wanted to be. I don't care about Saturday Night Live. I just care about being a wacky, sex-crazed dolphin.
Good for you.
The wheel of bad animal voices.
You made the right choice.
It's Stinky, the sexually aggressive dolphin.
See? Why go Saturday Live when I can do humor like that right here? Amanda Bynes
is magic.
She's nuts.
That too?
She's out of control.
That too?
She's had at least two accidents so far this year that have got her into a bunch of trouble, both hit and runs. She's going to have to be in court on September the 27th to sort those out. So then the DMV pulled her license. She's no longer allowed to drive. So then Tuesday, TMZ publishes photos of Amanda Bynes not only driving on a suspended license, but just taking mad pulls off a marijuana pipe behind the wheel while she's driving.
Some type of pipe. We assume it was marijuana. Look, I know, but we have to say allegedly. Don't look at me like that.
I'm just saying, what else do you smoke? She's not Sherlock Holmes. What's she smoking out of a pipe?
I agree with you.
Maybe it's,
that's alleged.
Maybe it's salvia.
Could be.
So this is after she was pulled over for not having her headlights on
right.
at night, the Sunday before that, on a suspended license.
Right.
Last night in West Hollywood, she's driving around in a parking lot. It's pulling out of the parking lot and taps another car in the behind and rear ends another car on her way out of the parking lot. Also, again, if I failed to mention, on a suspended license.
Is she trying to get into jail?
She must be. This must be like a prison break scenario where she's trying to get someone out. And yep. She's just so frustrated because she can't get put in prison. She's got the plans tattooed all over her body, and she's just desperate to break someone out.
Doesn't she have any friends left that could, I don't know, drive?
I guess not.
Didn't she go out with someone else driving once
well,
in a while?
You would sure think. Jeez.
You know, you don't want to drive around. Is this Allison Pill from the newsroom who plays that wacky, cute little blonde associate producer on the show?
I like her.
She, first of all, had a bad week. She accidentally tweeted that topless photo of herself.
Nothing
can't
to
be mad at
of.
That.
That's all over the internet.
And now the New York Post reports that she was at a Fashion Week event for New York's big Fashion Week festivities. And she was with her buddy Anna Chomsky, who is on Veep. Very funny on that show. They were hanging out together. And according to witnesses, Alison Pill was falling down drunk
right
at the event and kept screaming out loud about other people's flatulence. Anna Chomsky told bystanders, "Oh, don't worry, my friend's fine," as she helped her stagger away from the crowd. So you don't want her driving Amanda Bynes around.
No.
Sounds like. Oh, come on, Alison Pill.
Why are you going to be like that?
She's calling out
Who's
other people.
Who's fighting?
It was you.
I don't know which guy to pick. Makes me nuts on that show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our own, our very own Beer Mug celebrates his birthday today, 29 years old. Beer Mug, what are your big plans for your birthday? What do you got? What do you got lined up?
Well, you guys will be all pleased that I might die this weekend. So, a lot of drinking and a lot of drinking, a lot of normal.
None of that has killed you before. Why would we think we have a chance this time?
I'm going big this weekend.
Going big.
All right, that's good news.
Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead is 39.
Oh, these two have common. Beer Mug is The Walking Dead, and Andrew Lincoln is on The Walking Dead. He's 39. Craig Montoya of Everclear is 42. Tyler Perry, movie mogul, actor, director, and writer, is 43. Melissa Leo, very talented actress, won an Oscar for her role as the mom in The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg. Isn't it something? Melissa Leo is my movie wife.
Right.
From Red State. Mark Wahlberg is my movie son from Ted.
How about that?
Melissa Leo played his mother in The Fighter. So me and my movie wife have both been parents to my movie son, Mark Wahlberg.
Okay. I'm trying to
you're
keep up.
You're blowing my mind right now.
That just happened.
You're blowing my mind right now. I'm trying to do the math.
Sam Neill.
What did that do? Did that blow your mind?
Yeah,
that just happened.
Jurassic Park movie, Sam Neill is 65, and Walter Koenig from Star Trek is 76 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Be listening to K-Rock all weekend long. Score your tickets in the pit and backstage passes for Epicenter 2012. It's happening next Saturday at Verizon. Great lineup again this year with STP, Bush, Deftones, Scars on Broadway, and much, much more. You can get details at K-Rock.com. And again, winning all weekend long here on K-Rock. Cousin Sal joined us last Friday, had a pretty good week. I think you were, what, 2 out of 3 in your NFL picks on the show last week, right, Sal?
Yeah, 2 out of 3 against the spread, and you know what that means. It all turns around this week.
And by the way, to your credit, this maybe isn't much help to the people who maybe went out and bet the spread, but, I mean, you called the Eagles to win that game. They did win the game just by not as much as you thought.
Exactly. They didn't cover the spread. They had no right winning that game. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for them, and it's going to be an interesting year on Thursday night. Did you guys get to see the opening for Thursday night football last night?
This is the new CeeLo Green replacing Faith Hill theme song?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I didn't see it. Is it bad?
Oh, it's just insufferable. And there's a game every Thursday this year, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It does kind of make you miss Hank Williams Jr. in his song, doesn't it?
Hank Williams Jr. and Sr. are rolling over in their grave right now. I don't even know if either are dead. I can't believe I'm longing for Pink to return to be reunited with football. But I got as nauseous as CeeLo does a season's worth of spinning in chairs as I did watching just 1 week of that.
Yeah, it was no good at all, I'll tell you that. All right, so last night, yeah, the Packers beat Chicago last night. Both teams are 1-1. A great lineup of games again this weekend. Who do you want to talk about today, Sal?
Let's talk about Arizona and New England.
Yeah, if the season ended today, Arizona would be tied for the lead.
Right, and you know what? I have. I'm not supposed to say anything, but there is talk that the season could end today. Keep that between us. The Patriots are favored by 14. Now, I know, Kevin, I took your cards last week.
You did.
It worked out.
I was surprised that you did, but you did.
It barely worked out.
Yeah.
I'm backing off this week. I don't like the West Coast team flying east to play early. And not to mention, this could be the best Patriots team we've seen in 6 or 7 years. I mean, and like previous seasons, they have a strong running game. They have this kid, Stephen Ridley, ran for over 120 yards last week. Tom Brady has a deep threat along with being able to spray the ball all over the field like he does. And now they have a formidable defense. It's ridiculous. They have their first two draft picks in April combined to score a defensive touchdown. It's not fair that they do well. It's like Mark Zuckerberg going from Elks Club to Elk Club winning bingo tournaments. They don't need it. I like the Pats big. 50, yes, Patriots 50, Cardinal 16. Give the 14 points.
Oh, that hurts.
Wow. That's going to be an embarrassing loss. By the way, it is weird considering the Patriots have been a perpetual contender every year for the last 15, it seems like. Not very many people were talking about them in the preseason. They were not the sexy team to talk about this year. Maybe we just take them for granted for the most part, Sal.
Yeah, I think that's it. People are maybe tired of getting screwed by them in the last game of the season or whatever, but they traded all their draft picks and in previous years and now stockpiled them for this year, and I think it's going to pay off. It's
all right, game number two.
Game number two, Carolina and New Orleans. Now, I know everyone was crazy about RG3, the Redskins quarterback, his success against the Saints last week, but the real story is this garbage New Orleans defense. Like, I don't know what's wrong with them. Maybe you guys could help me out. It's almost like they need some kind of incentive to play better, some money off to the side.
Like a bounty?
Maybe a coach can offer up the intensity.
Like maybe a bounty?
Yeah, that's it. You figured it out.
Right.
That's it. That's why they're not playing up to par. I think they're going to free fall for a while here. They have that third-string coach, you know, trying to get it done. I don't like them at all, the Saints. Cam Newton's ready to explode. He almost beat them last year in a crazy game in Carolina. I like the Panthers to open it up. Take Carolina plus three. They win outright, 30-23.
And I also wonder, Sal, just piggybacking on something you mentioned last Friday, if there's something in the heads of the Saints players thinking, this is our year, the Super Bowl's in our house, we've got to be better this year than we've ever been before so that we can play at home and win the Super Bowl.
They would be nothing better to deliver a collective FU to the commissioner at the Super Bowl in February in their backyard. But exactly. I don't think it's happening.
All right, game number three.
Monday night, Denver and Atlanta. And, you know, I don't like to put too much emphasis on the preseason or week one, but I do like the way these Falcons move the ball up and down the field. They have so many weapons. They're running a no-huddle offense. And I think when the dust settles, they're going to be one of the top two teams in the NFC. And I'm not drinking the Peyton Manning Kool-Aid. Does he endorse Kool-Aid?
I don't think so.
That's the only thing he hasn't endorsed. He should. He really should. That Steelers defense is pretty banged up. And I have a theory about Peyton Manning. I think he's smarter than the rest of us, obviously. He's going to go to where the air is the thinnest and his ball is going to come up with the most velocity, and that's Denver, Colorado. I mean, if he wanted his ball to stay in midair, he would go to a team that played on the moon, right?
Sure.
By inverse, I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't either.
You know what I mean.
No.
He knows what he's doing. It's going to look good for a while. The Falcons are the team to take this game. I'll bet any. We'll take money. $175 I'll fold into origami pigs. Drop it off at the sportsbook. I'm taking the Falcons at home. 34-24. Give the 3 points.
I see in the email that you sent over the word guarantee.
Oh, yeah, I did?
Yes, you did.
I will guarantee that one.
Are you going against your fellow handicappers on this one? Because it does seem like the other sports guys have kind of drank the Peyton Manning Kool-Aid.
There are other sports guys? I just listen to me on this show. Yeah, wow. Peyton's a great story.
All right.
All right. So those are your picks then.
Now you have a soundbite for next week.
There you go.
All right.
All right. Thank you for calling. We'll talk to you next.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show, and then we sing that song you all know, so stick around for that. What's going on, Ralph?
In the news, apparently producer's upset because she missed that flight to Atlanta to film the scenes for her new movie, Scary Movie 5. Could she lose the gig?
Sure seems like it.
There are rumors.
Yeah.
There are rumors. If she loses this show...
I don't think they really need her.
Well...
I mean,
not anybody else to play Lindsay Lohan. If you got a bit you wrote about Lindsay Lohan, you'd like to have her. And I don't think she's in that much of the film. I think it's a cameo or something, so they could probably shift around the schedule. But look, time is money in the movie making business, and if they got to, rearrange the schedule, it's going to cost. Anyway, they're saying that she may be in trouble with the producers there. We'll have to wait and see.
Those scary movies, don't they oftentimes have a big star in the opening 2 minutes of the movie that gets killed? That's kind of how they kick the thing off. It's really more of a cameo than it is a starring role.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they want her for.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I said she was in a cameo.
That is what Ralph just said.
Coming up. But that's just me.
Okay, back to you.
Jesus, say the king of Mexico. It's contagious. Nobody listens to this goddamn segment anymore.
I heard you.
We just don't
but there
you.
Is there's a difference between a cameo in a movie and being in that featured opening 2 minute scene where you get killed. That's the distinction I was making.
Amanda Bynes, another little fender bender for her. While still driving illegally, keep in mind, she is driving on a suspended license.
She's gotten in more incidents since she had her license taken away.
Third incident she's been driving on a suspended license.
In 5 days.
Driving without her headlights on Sunday night, then on Tuesday, driving while smoking weed behind the wheel.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. That's the weakest allegedly I can get. Allegedly. And then last night she was driving around West Hollywood, got into a little fender bender, a little tiny accident. She was driving her black BMW out of a parking lot on Sunset Boulevard around 10:30 p.m. last night when she tapped the bumper of a white car in front of her, leaving little or no damages, according to witnesses. But
wouldn't you think she'd be so extra careful?
I think that is her being extra careful. She usually knocks the bumper off of somebody when she hits them from behind.
So bumps them out of the way.
A tap is as good as you can get from her, really.
Remember we did a phone topic a few weeks ago from people as a result of Amanda Bynes and all of her accidents? Who's been in the most accidents? And we had that one girl call in who had been in 12 accidents in 5 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's madness. Friends are concerned about Amanda, by the way. Both her agent and father have urged her to go to rehab, according to RadarOnline.com, but she refuses any sort of treatment, won't return anyone's phone calls. She is a lost little girl.
No kidding.
She was like America's sweetheart. Remember how cute and adorable she was? Oh, yeah. She's so talented. And what a talented kid. And then next thing you know, the evils of weed. That's what it is. Weed. Gateway drug. Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn are reteaming. Huge success of Wedding Crashers meant that the two were looking for a project to co-star it again for some time. Now they're reuniting for a movie called The Internship, where they both play unemployed salesmen. I have no idea what the premise is, but I'm laughing already just thinking about the two of those guys together again. Good stuff. While we're talking about DUIs,
yeah,
two more this week. Sally Struthers, who was famous for being in the classic 70s sitcom All in the Family, now 65 years old, was stopped in Maine Wednesday morning, booked on charges of drinking and driving. Here's the thing, though. If you get caught in Maine, apparently you have to pony up $160 in bail. Jeez, I'm going to go to Maine and just get wrecked. Just drive around. Yeah, I can afford that. She's apparently doing some theater there in Maine. That's what she was doing there. And Michael Madsen, who has a long history of enjoying different substances,
yes,
was pulled over by police on the Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu on Wednesday, blew a .20.
Wow.
Now keep in mind, the legal blood alcohol limit here in California is .08. So that's better than twice.
Wow.
He was booked and then taken to the hospital, but nobody's talking about exactly why he had to go to the hospital. Might have something to do with that. His blood was pure alcohol. Maybe that was part of the problem. America's Got Talent named a winner last night. Did you have your money on the Olathe dogs?
I didn't see that.
You didn't?
Uh-uh.
They picked up $1 million in grand prize money and they have their own headlining act in Vegas.
It's
what are
dogs?
They called, Ralph? Olathe dogs. O-L-A-T-E. Olathe, one word, dogs.
Is it a dog show?
I have no idea, sir. I wish I could give you more information on this. I don't know whether it's performing dogs or whether they're a dance group who call themselves the dogs or whether this is a woman's name. Her name is Olathe Dogez. I have no idea about anything about America's Got Talent. I apologize. I am ill-prepared to give you this story, really. The runner-up was a comedian named Tom Cotter. And a harpist named William Close came
What's
in.
What's going on?
A harpist.
Now you know why I don't watch America's Got Talent.
All right. I am on the Olathe Dogs website.
Yeah.
Give me some Olathe Dogs info.
Richard Olathe has created a magnificent act without equal. It is brilliant and spectacular. These beautiful dogs perform with exceptional agility and artistry. Their impeccable routine is fast and fun. It is truly something to see. Yeah, it's dogs doing doggy things, jumping up and down on platforms and rolling around on wheels and stuff like that. That's on TV in 2012.
I get my damn dog do anything cool. Just sits there and farts.
Teaches you that in tune. Yeah, you got something.
We got to change that dog's food. Something's going horribly wrong inside my dog.
Sounds like it.
But when
your dog is rotting. Reggie just sits there and just looks at you and goes.
He looks at you like, what are you going to do?
He's going to fly around the room like a balloon when you let go of it after you've been blowing it up for a minute. Yeah, so there you go. They go on wheels?
Yes. They jump up on a circle, basically, and dance on top of it while it rolls around the stage or something.
Yeah, I was picturing one of those dogs with a broken spine. Who just has one of those carts strapped to his ass.
No. This is not a sad dog show. This is a happy dog show.
That would be interesting. Anyway, but $1 million, and they get to headline their own show in Vegas.
It's not 1956, though. How is this on television?
Look, a dog won Britain's Got Talent this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dogs. It's all about the
dogs.
I know
all about the dogs.
Nothing. What about the dogs, Michael? What about the dogs?
You like doggy?
I do.
It's a whole different kind of America's Got Talent.
Hey, speaking of Vegas, tickets just went on sale today for Hollywood Babylon in Vegas. We're doing...
Oh, you in Vegas?
That's a mistake.
We're doing the Laugh Factory Comedy Club at the Tropicana Hotel and Resort. October the 20th is the date. So next month, we're doing Reno on the 6th, and then Vegas on the 20th. So it's all Nevada all the time in October. But
that's going to be the worst Hollywood Babylon show ever, the one in Vegas.
The best one,
yeah,
you mean.
Where can I get them? Oh. I mean, they're like, where is there...
It's a website. You go to the website. Go to Tropicana. Go to TropLV.com.
Yeah, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something? Or can
tonight.
I just go
nothing
down there?
What do you do with the radio station? Dave, come on.
Yeah, and where... do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I would just stay at the Tropicana. That's where the club is. It's just easier. Do a package deal. While we're talking about tickets, I've got tickets to give away to the advanced screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yay!
The movie stars Emma Watson and Paul Rudd about an introverted freshman who's taken under the wings of two seniors who welcome him to the real world. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 21st, but you'll see it Thursday the 20th. If you're one of the first two lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067, first two callers get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead is 39 years old today. Speaking of The Walking Dead, Beer Mug is celebrating his birthday today. He is 29.
Beer Mug looks almost exactly twice his age in real life.
Oh, twice.
Don't you think
twice
so? Does he look around 58?
Oh, no, come on. 40, but come on. 58. Craig Montoya from Everclear, he's the bassist for that band, is 42 years old. Tyler Perry, actor, director, movie mogul, has got his own studio there in Atlanta, 43 years old. Melissa Leo, Oscar-winning actress from The Fighter. She was also in Red State, Kevin Smith's film with me, 52 years old. Sam Neill, Jurassic Park. And, of course, The Tudors was great in that show, 65. And Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov in the Star Trek series and movies, just got a star in the Hollywood... Hollywood Walk of Fame. This week, 76 years
ago. I love it, Ralph. I love it so much when it's not me, because it always is.
It's Friday. I'm tired. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Andrew Siciliano on Monday. Michael McDonald, comedian on Monday. Harvey Levin from TMZ and LaQuisha. We'll take a look at Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Monday.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend.
My friend.
Pass it over to me.
Over to me.
What it is, soul brother.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Am I the only one who can work and drink at the same time?
Roll another one.
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Just what? Like the other one.
Sorry to crash this sausage party.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Okay, all right, so that's where we'll draw the line.
And I need another hit.
Well, we all are impatient. We don't like to put off things, and we want what we want when we want it. And sometimes we end up spending a lot of time and money, and then, sadly, we don't end up with what we really wanted.
What?
Roll.
Wow.
Roll.
Roll.
Roll. Another one.
Yeah. That's hot.
Just like the other one.
This is really nasty.
This one seems to be about.
Hear the fart just in?
I just can't believe this even happened. Oh my goodness.
Hot mess.
Just pass it around.
Every day I'm shuffling.
That's not brown rice.
Just pass it on.
Okay, everybody. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye. And that's that. That's all I can stand, cause I can't stand no more.
What say you and I blow this pop stand and head off for a spot of slap and tickle?
Oh, brother.
That was pathetic.
Ew. Hey, no, I thought that was really good, you guys. You're doing really well, and I think that someday you'll be ready for the Nobel Prize.
So long, jerkwads.
You will be back.
They all come back.